Blog Talk Radio.
And here I am.
Hang on a second. Let me, yes, here we are. Anyway, your show will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio. Here we go.
This is All About
All
Wine,
About Wine,
the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
All right. Well, there's nothing like me being late.
You know, it's a first. I don't remember that ever happening in the past. What are we, in January? I don't remember this happening in the past long time. So, you know.
Not this year, anyways. Yeah.
It's a live show. And, you know, things happen. So.
I suppose I can give an excuse. My sister is down visiting me from Kansas City, and yesterday we went down to Tarpon Springs, which is the Greek community down here. In fact, I mentioned on the show, I think a couple weeks ago, or about the Epiphany celebration down there and all that, and the big Greek community down there in Tarpon. Well, we went down to Tarpon Springs to the Sponge Docks and walked around. Well, they have great Greek restaurants and stuff down there, and great Greek bakeries. And we stopped and had ourselves a Eero sandwich, which there was, like, not kidding, an inch and a half, 2 inches of meat on this Eero. It was a complete meal in itself. And stopped by a Greek pastry shop and bought a big box of different pastries. And so she says, oh, it's time for pastries. So she goes in the kitchen and cuts a piece of each one of these pastries, one for the wife, one for her, and one for me, and one for my mother-in-law, and divide it all up. And there's like 6 different pastries sitting on that plate. And I'm sitting there and enjoying these pastries with a glass of milk and just really having a good time. And the 7 o'clock news pops up on the radio, and before the news, they say, tonight we have Law and Order. And I'm thinking, well, Law and Order is the night that comes on when I do the show. And I'm going, oh, no. And I go running into the den here and hook up. So I was just a couple minutes late. But, oh, my gosh. I'm indulging in these pastries, these decadent pastries. And I...
Did you go to, was it Hella's? What's that place? They have a bakery, too. Hella's in Tarpon Springs, I think, is one of the – every time I go there, that's where
Hella's, that's where we went. Yeah.
That's like authentic stuff.
They have display cases that are like 6 feet across, and there's like 4 of them with 2 layers of pastries on each one. So it's and I mean every one of them is good. So I made it. We have a guest. I don't know where he is. Grant Reynolds is supposed to be with us tonight. And that's another thing that I'm negligent on. I usually send out a reminder email to guests, and I did not send one out to him. Let me look here and see if.
Maybe he's watching Maybe he's watching Law and Order.
Maybe he's watching Law and Order.
Whatever.
And yes, he's blocked off on his calendar.
Could be a time zone. Maybe he's in, what's the next one over? Central.
Yeah,
maybe he's
Central.
In Central.
Could be in the Central time zone. Any other than
he's
ours.
Waiting for... Yes.
Why I'm looking at these emails and they're messed up.
Hmm.
Yes, he's boss. These emails are messed up. The response to her is on her email. And then I got the one to you where I sent, but I don't know. Well, he's supposed to be joining us, and he was confirmed last week. And it says he's blocked off and ready to be on with us, but no phone call. Well, I don't know. Maybe he is just running late or confused or I don't know. But, well, I guess I need to scramble here and find something to talk about until he decides to join us. Get some background music so we can figure out what I'm going to talk about here. I've been doing taxes and preparing for it. I've got to take the test. And before I submit the test, I had one of the supervisors of the tax. Here's the note I sent. Yeah, that's it. I don't know. And so I... had a supervisor go through it, and he found a few mistakes. He said, check this on your test. And I'm trying to get back into the website that I practice on, and it won't let me back in. I don't know why or what's going on. I'm trying everything. It says your username is wrong. So I found... I sent in my email address, and it said, well, these are the two usernames we found. So I tried logging in using those usernames, and it won't let me in on those. And I don't, so I can't correct my test unless I can get in. It's just not been a cooperative with me this week.
Not a good.
Is that what I want? Where's the email that I want? Or the website that I want? I can't. It's not here for some reason.
On the recorded show, we would cut all this out. And you would just hear the intro.
If,
and then
we're not live.
Just rethink.
I see people writing. I belong to a podcast group, and people write in and say, I'm looking for somebody to edit my show and take all the and all that. And I'm going, just do it live. You don't have to worry about it then. They'll be right in there, and you can just skip right over them.
There's actually AI software that you can upload your show or MP3 to or talk show, whatever, and it can go through and edit a lot of that stuff out for you.
Oh, really?
Like that one. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's a pay service. I've seen three of them so far, but I'm like, I don't need to subscribe to this kind of stuff because we're a live show. But in the event, it can go through and AI can take out those kind of words and spaces and gaps and Wow. How far have we come in audio and editing and all that stuff? It is. You know, I would know that. But
Just the AI is going to be so I don't know. I can't even think of the word to describe it. Hey, AI, help me. What word to describe you? excuse me. It's just going to be so phenomenal. I mean, most of the stuff, you can't tell if it's AI or if it's real or, you know, it's, I saw a picture of something the other day, and they said, this picture is totally and completely AI oriented. And
wow,
it was a scene, a winter scene, a mountain scene or something. And they said it was totally AI oriented to get this scene. And it was just amazing. It was looked like the mountains of Colorado or something. And it was just all AI. You know, it's just fascinating and scary, you know.
Mm-hmm. There's issues with that technology. I think we saw some issues with technology, particularly in the electronic vehicle issues this past, they have it listed on the news from it like a day or two ago, that not only, you know, these EVs like Teslas and all that, they don't charge as quickly. In cold, and you get a range loss, and it says it can go from 10 to 36% is what Fortune magazine is saying. So you get that much of a loss because of cold weather. And there was near Chicago, I think they had some major issues, but definite struggles if you have an electric vehicle like a Tesla or something in there. I'm not singling them out, but I'm singling them out. take it away.
They're saying the same thing in real hot weather too, that they it overheats when you get real hot weather with them. So, you know, if you have the ideal driving temperature in the range, then it's great for you to own a EV. But otherwise, you need to be a little concerned if you're going to go anywhere.
But I'm not ready to trust them.
I'm not sure.
You know, you can't go through something that's just, I don't know. If you have one, you know, good luck to you. But after seeing the extremes here, you can't, I don't know, just not, something's not right yet. Give it a little bit.
Hybrids, I can understand, because then you can click the thing into into the gas mode if you need, but 100% electric, it's just a little soon, I think, for the everything that it could affect it. And I agree with you. If you have one out there, then, you know, good for you. If you're not having an issue, fantastic. But I'm just not ready for one yet. You know, speaking of cars and drivers, Danica Patrick has a wine. I don't know if anybody's aware of that. She has a wine. She just opened up her tasting room in Calistoga. And she's doing tastings in Calistoga. I don't know if you're familiar with the name. Danica Patrick's a female race car driver. She's retired now, but she has a winery that she's opened up. Sauvignon wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's got a tasting room open in Saratoga now, I think it is. But quite successful female driver, one of the first female drivers, and actually won. You know, won, I think, two or three races in her career, which is not bad because there's some drivers that don't win any in their whole career. So, you know, but she has her tasting room open, and Sauvignon, means dream in Latin, she says. And so,
I forgot to forgot to go live on Flatline Radio. That's, man, we're really having a day today. I went late with the video, and hello, sorry about that.
Yeah, I was late
and there's listeners.
Threw you all off and everything. That should be fun on Flatline Radio when you replay it Saturday. You know?
Yeah, because the recording is starting now, too. Oh, wow. Interesting. So you've missed the first 17 minutes of the show. So, which might be a good thing because it was a rocky start to begin with, but we're here now and getting caught up. So, I still don't have the, we're supposed to have a guest today, but or tonight, but don't have one yet. So,
hasn't showed up. Let me double check and see. Nope, not yet.
Email or anything, update.
We'll find stuff to talk about. Yeah. We have stuff out there in the wine world that is just interesting for everyone and all that. Their compliance with bottle bill, just 1 month away for wine, wine and spirits. That is, I think that's the California compliance. As soon as this loads, I'll let you know. I get a little flicker of power there. There's no storm or anything going through. But it could be everybody turning on heat. And, you know, it's cold here in Florida. And it's supposed to be cold over the next, you know, 2 days. And it's going to warm up. So, well, it's not loading for me. I can't tell you about what that says because it's not loading. I hope it's not an issue with all of my sites today. Let's see. That's, for some reason, that is not. Well, I don't know. It's not loading. Let me get out of this and look at the next one and see if there's something here that. Interesting here. Investigators have not made any arrests and have no suspect information. It's the story is a mysterious person entered a Washington State winery over Thanksgiving holiday and drained thousands of gallons of wine from the facility, causing estimated damage of over $600,000. Wow. Sparkman Cellars, which is family-owned and operated, was the subject of the vandalism in November of this last year, November 22nd. Employees left for the holiday vacation. Someone was caught on surveillance cameras entering the winery and doing the damage. A white man can be seen gushing out of white wine can be seen gushing out of a steel tank where it was waiting to be bottled. Despite alarms sounding throughout the building, two 2,500-gallon tanks of white wine unloaded onto the floor of the winery. Wow. Surveillance cameras caught the suspect exiting the building with an umbrella as the wine continued to pour from the tanks. The incident was discovered 2 days later when they returned from their Thanksgiving break. They have not made any arrests and they have no suspects. The cameras did catch the suspect wearing a cowboy hat and poncho. There you go. Any information on what happened, call the police. Surveillance cameras are great, but that did not stop it from draining the over 60. I'm flicking around. Let me go back to it here. $600,000 worth of wine and two tanks of 5,000 gallons of wine, of white wine. Wow. So no suspects, no one caught yet. So that's that happened last Thanksgiving. Let's see, wine exporting of wine. Vintage 2023 predicted to be the vintage of a lifetime in Napa Valley. They say that a lot, though, don't they? Vintage of a lifetime in different areas. I think it is a preemptive statement to get people excited about a vintage. I don't know. It just seems like the preemptive thing that people, that areas say just to get people excited about it. Illinois grape growers prepare to take on the invasive splatterfly. It's worked its way west, and it's in Illinois. I made it from Pennsylvania to Indiana and to Illinois now, to Ohio and Indiana. It's working its way west, which is not good. Let's see. Nothing else there. Let's go on to the next page and see what's there. Here we go. We were talking about artificial intelligence, AI. Here is a story that goes right along with what we were talking about. This says, AI can tell a wine's vineyard with 100% accuracy. It says AI may have just replaced another profession, wine tasters. Excuse me. It says that applying machine learning tools to chemical data, researchers say they have succeeded in identifying with 100% accuracy the molecular signature of red wines from seven major estates in the Bordeaux region. University of Geneva and the Institute of Vine and Wine Science at the University of Bordeaux say their method, published in Communications Chemistry, could pave the way for new tools to combat wine counterfeits. Yeah, but, you know, it's been said by sommeliers that each wine has a taste unique to its own vineyard and the soil it was grown in. AI agrees. Researchers use gas chromatography mass spectrometry. To analyze the chemical makeup of 80 red wines harvested from seven estates in Bordeaux between 1990 and 2007. They then process these data with machine learning, a field of AI in which algorithms learn to identify recurring patterns and sets of information. And this method allows them to take into account each wine's complete chromatograms, which can comprise up to 30,000 points, including background noise, and to summarize each chromatogram into two X and Y coordinates after eliminating unnecessary variables. This process is called dimensionality reduction. AI. Placing these coordinates on a graph, the researchers were able to see seven clouds of data points. They found that each of these clouds grouped together vintages from the same Bordeaux estate on the basis of their chemical crossover. And they continue to say this allowed us to show that each estate does have its own chemical signature. We also observed that three wines were grouped together on the far on the right and four on the left, which corresponds to the two banks of the Garonne on which these estates are located. AI. This clumping of data, though defined, was relatively broad, revealing that the chemical identity of wines is drawn from a chemical spectrum. They said, our results show that it's possible to identify the geographical origin of a wine with 100% accuracy by applying dimensionality reduction techniques to gas chromatograms. It's even more AI. There you go. I mean, they were able to tell exactly the vineyards and the wines and where it was grown and all that stuff. So AI does it again. I am sure we will continue to hear more and more stories along that line of what AI is doing in the wine field. This is an article that's interesting simply because I live in Florida, and it's about Florida. Representative filed a bill that would remove Florida's limit on a maximum volume of any wine container. Right now, there is a maximum amount that you can fill up for wine, and he has, well, it's actually Representative Chip LaMarca from the Lighthouse Point District. Under Florida law, wine selling of more than 1 gallon in an individual container is banned. And state law does permits qualified distributors and manufacturers can sell sell wine to others of the same title in any size bottle, but individuals can't do it. Well, he is proposing a reusable bottle holding 5.16 gallons, and the law currently includes a provision declaring wine sold off premises by a vendor must be in an unopened original container. And he is saying this is ridiculous. Criminal penalty, and it is a criminal penalty for selling oversized wine containers, is a second degree misdemeanor with fines and potential jail time. And he's saying that that is ridiculous. He wants to cut down on that and make wine available in any size container to Florida customers, Florida consumers. He's saying the time is ripe to repeal this unnecessary burden on Florida consumers, which it is, yeah. That's selling in big bottles. I mean, you know, I doubt very many wineries are going to do it anyway. They might, but you know, I would never sell it in a container that holds 5.16 gallons. Wow, that's a big jug there. So, but he's saying, let's make it legal. So, you know, the little Florida tweak in there to what they're doing. Let's see. Nothing else in that section. Let's look in the next one. What's the wine initiative? It's a support stay for a lawsuit. John's additional. Prediction of trends and. I usually do this before a show. I'm sorry, but we had a guest scheduled for tonight, and we, for some reason, he missed the date. We'll get him on. It's not a problem, actually. But if I don't have a guest, I don't go through and start checking things that we can talk about. And I really did think he was going to be on, and for some reason he missed it. Direct to consumers. National Association of Wine Retailers announced its support today for a lawsuit challenging a discriminatory and protectionist California restriction on out-of-state wineries selling directly to California retailers and restaurants. They said the archaic law is part of a protectionist system of alcohol regulations that limits retailer access to products, also consumer access to the growing national marketplace for wine and wineries access to retailers. So they are challenging along with the other lawsuits. So this is a good thing. They're getting in there and trying to get it so you can ship from other states into California. It was followed by Washington State and Washington State Winery against the California Alcoholic and Beverage Control, saying it's discriminatory that you cannot sell wine from one state to the other. There, it says it violates the Commerce Clause in U.S. Constitution, as decided by the 2005 Supreme Court decision. So they're trying to do it. There are other states that have similar laws that are being challenged. Now, Iowa is barring Iowa retailers from purchasing directly from out-of-state wineries. Idaho is barring Idaho retailers from purchasing beer directly from out-of-state brewers. And New York is barring retailers from purchasing from out-of-state wineries. So this is all coming under these laws and trying to open it up so that they can sell directly to consumers and to people within the state. Wine-producing regions in places like Missouri, Michigan, Texas, Idaho, Arizona, Virginia, New York, and other states have matured significantly over the past 20 years, it says. And they're starting to use the... Boy, my light's flicking. Why is my light flicking? Is it going bad? I hope not. I think it is. It's a... I think I just burned out my head. It's a circle light. It's a circle light. I think I might have another one here. I'll have to look and see after the show. Excuse me. So this is a new litigation that's going on right now. And is since we've got other big National Association of Wine Retailers and stuff like that getting behind it, looks like it could stop a lot of these archaic wine laws about distribution and stuff, which would help all of us. That means that we can start getting direct shipments from wineries around the country coming in, and we don't have to worry about, well, we can't ship to you, and we can't ship to you, so we're going to have to... And, you know, you can't get it from this winery. In fact, you know what I mean, because a lot of times we talk to wineries and they'll say, yeah, there's certain ones we can't ship to. You're going to have to check the chart that we have on our shipping page and see who we can ship to and who we can't. And maybe this is the first step to stop that and start getting it so that they can be shipped directly to people just about anywhere. And so it's a step in the right direction, I think. Oh, let's see what else we got here. Will new grape varieties change the identity of classic wine regions? Long article, basically. Let me go back down to the bottom line here and see what it says here. Reasons for the change is because of climate change. And they're trying out new grapes that will grow in different regions around the world. And not just one particular region, but everywhere around the world. And some places are embracing the new grapes that are actually hybrids of the older grapes. What am I getting an echo here for some reason? Actually getting a hybrid of the older grapes in... getting a new generation that will survive in warmer climates and less requiring less water and tasting the same as the current one. So that's, yes, it's new grapes will be able to take over and replace some of the older grapes. New names, but basically the same thing. You're not going to see a big difference in it. No, what I do is wrong. I clicked all the wrong thing here. There we go. Okay. And let's see what else we've got here that we can, bits of information we can pass on. Oh, white and rosé wines now account for more than half of global consumption. It was red wines dominated the world consumption for a long time. Now rosés and whites have stepped up and are accounting for over half. That is absolutely amazing, I think, because red has always been the go-to wine. The U.S., China, and Germany are the biggest red wine drinkers, followed by France and Italy. Both China and the U.S. recorded rising consumption in the past two decades, but data shows China drinking has slumped from its peak in 2017. And France consumption, once the biggest red wine consumer, has fallen by almost half since the start of this century. So, excuse me. So it seems there's a boom in rosé and sparkling wines and white wines, which has taken over red wine dominance in the world. Since the start of this century, since around 2000, red wine has declined in Germany, the UK, France, Spain, and it's all brands of red wine. And white wines have jumped up. Red wines are at about 47% consumption right now, whereas white wines are... let's see, white and red wines have risen by 10 and 17%, or white and rosé, rather, have risen by 10 and 17%. So, more white wines being consumed in rosés than red wines. But surprised me. I didn't think I'd see the day. But more and more people are drinking. I mean, if you think about that, it makes sense, because more and more people are drinking wines. And because more and more people are drinking wines, it's the lighter ones, the white ones. Pinot Grigio, I mean, the wine of choice for quite some time now. And same thing with rosés. Rosés are really becoming mainstream. You're finding them all over the place all the time now. That is a big category there, and that's jumping up. And you start adding the rosés and the whites, and how whites are starting to catch hold by a lot of people, then it's really understandable that the reds are losing ground. And, you know, you're still going to find the category of people who like the red wines and who like the bold reds and the big reds, but you're finding a lot of new drinkers, millennials particularly, who like a lighter wine, like something that's softer. And the rosés are one of the things that seems to be catching on a lot with the millennials. So that's why that category has jumped up so much. You have heard me complain for years about the three-tier system we are working under. If you've listened to any of my past rants, you've heard about how I hate the three-tier system. And this article states that the three-tier system is actually hurting American wines and American wineries. And I agree. I've said that over and over again. The American wines are being pushed out of the marketplace in a lot of different areas because of the three-tier system. And the reason for that is the price. You get it directly from the winery. It's going to cost you X amount of dollars. You get it from the winery to a distributor, to a store, and it's going to cost you X amount more because the winery wants this much and the store wants this much and the distributor once they're cut. Details on Southern Glacier holding 60% of the SKUs or SKUs from outside the United States. Wine.com, the largest online retailer, inventories 70% of their wines from outside of the United States. And Total Wine and More SKUs consist of 56.5% of product from outside the United States. So all these different importers are bringing in and using wines from outside the United States. It can be deduced that some of the major players in the three-tier system are skewing their offerings toward foreign producers and not so much American wineries. And it's because, well, this says, two solutions toward helping American wineries: make foreign wines more expensive and less attractive, and provide more opportunity to U.S. wineries. The way to provide more opportunity to U.S. wineries is start using smaller wineries and start getting out there. Now that's my statement. That's not this article's. And so, but it says that the three-tier system, when you start looking at it, is starting to hurt American wines because it's bringing in foreign wines and foreign wineries are being used, and it's not helping American wineries at all. And they're also saying this, the solution, you know, the anti-dumping actions that have been done is not helping American wineries either. And artificially higher prices on foreign wine could hurt everybody because it's going to hurt the foreign wineries and all that. Just, you know, balance it out, people, balance it out. But again, the three-tier system manipulates what's going on out there so much that it's I don't like it. I don't like it. Let's see what else. Ungrafted vines hit the silver screen. What does this article say? This is one of those long articles. I'm not going to go through this. It's talking about Krieger about ungrafted vines is making a movie. I don't know. It's too long to try to go through it with you here. I don't like going through those real long articles, especially if I have not read them and dissected them. Let's see. That's no good. Turning it. Nope. That's no. Future of Napa's long gone winery audit remains murky. No, World of Pinot Noir is here. That's happy 40th anniversary, Willamette Valley American Viticulture Area. 40 years. Well, nothing. Is Cuvée's thing successful? No, nothing on that page. Let me see. There's a Wisconsin law overhauls industry, e-commerce, VIP Chianti experience days 15. Mexicans are consuming more wines and planting more vines. A little south of the border is Mexicans now drink 1.3 liters of wine per capita compared to only 2.25 milliliters 25 years ago. Consumption has increased by about six times in the last two decades. So Mexicans have found wine as a popular drink, getting away from some of the harder stuff that has always been the mainstay in Mexico. and it says their move toward quality. They talk about what wineries here. Origin of wines consumed in Mexico. Oh, yeah, Mexico has jumped up. A little bit here. Italy, Chile has jumped up. Argentina. Yeah, overall, wine production and wine consumption in Mexico has taken off. So in 1996, there were only 7 commercial wineries in Mexico, but today the country boasts over 400 spread around 16 different regions. So, wow, Mexico and Mexican wine is becoming a thing. I haven't looked for any in the store. I don't know if they have any there or not. That might be my next project, to see if I can't find any Mexican wines in the store. The tax is a major problem, the article says, though. Taxes represent roughly 42% of the cost of wine in Mexico. 42%? Geez. Wines are taxed at 16% IVA, the value tax that's added, with an additional IEPS, or luxury tax, of 26% to 30%, which makes wine very expensive. Well, yeah, I can see with extra taxes like that. So if you try to put wine on the dining table every day, it's going to get very expensive. But it has still increased in Mexico. Mexican Wine Facts, 16 wine regions, 400-plus commercial wineries as of 2022, 9,000 hectares of vineyards aimed for making wine and juice, 50 grape varieties currently growing for wine, 100 grape varieties being tested in experimental plantings, 100. They're probably doing weather, heat and all that in the new plantings. Mexico ranks 33rd globally in terms of wine production. The Mexican wine industry has a market value of $2.4 billion, that's U.S. dollars, and is the second source of employment in the country's agricultural sector. Wow, that's something. Wine production in Mexico reached 39.6 million liters in 2022. Mexico wine has a global market share of 0.13%. Of every 10 bottles of wine sold in Mexico, 3 are Mexican, which is not bad. It's stepping up there, considering that just within the last few years, they've increased so many wineries in the country. Here's some more information. It says, a point, wine consumption in Mexico has grown from 2.25 milliliter per capita in 2003 to 1.3 liters per capita in 2023, and is predicted to increase to 2 liters by 2030. Point, Mexican wine's domestic market share tripled over the past two decades, from 10% to 34%. Point, Mexico currently produces 39.6 million liters of wine per annum. In 2023, revenue that was worth $986.1 million, with the market expected to grow annually by 3.23%. Point, in 1996, there were only 7 commercial wineries in Mexico. Today, there are over 400, spanning 16 regions. Point, Mexico has a new wine region. West Central Nayarit is home to the Maceda del Cleo project, founded in 2019 with European Wines. Its first vintage was in 2022. Point, an official Mexican Wine Day, October the 17th, was declared in 2023 by the Consejo Mexicano Vitivinícola. Oh, that's it, Vitivinícola, or the Mexican Wine Council. and point the Mexican wine industry is moving towards a protected geographical indication approach, with plans for zonification studies underway in Baja California in Querétaro. So they're going to have protected areas, just like we have here in the United States in our AVAs, and just like they have in, I don't have a light. I was going to make a note about this, but about the, Mexican wine day, but I don't have a light. No, I can still see through the computer light. Mexican wine day. Wine day is, so I can put it on my calendar so we can be sure to celebrate it, October 17th. All right. There, we can celebrate that day. Okay, and importers and distributors have a list here, and commerce sites from Mexico and Mexican sommeliers and wine experts, so a list of that too, and all sorts of stuff here from Mexico. So, Mexico, if you see any wineries or any wine from Mexican wineries, try it. Let me know. I'm curious. I mean, with over 400 wineries, I'm sure there are possibilities out there, lots of possibilities of us finding ones that we can try, we can talk about. The winemaker Gurgich, G-R-G-I-C-H, I am sure have seen his wine on the shelf. A lot of times it's very expensive, but he was the founder of Gurgich Winery, from Croatia originally, but the founder and winemaker for Gurgich Winery. Worldwide attention is Napa Chardonnay was award-winning all over the world. He passed away, 100 years old. He passed away a couple weeks ago. Just FYI. Let's see what else we got. Entries for the 24 competition first. Okay, the wine industry appeal to more younger consumers. I don't know. Biodynamic bubbles. Sparkling wine producers are promoting sustainability. AI can identify wine 100% of the time. Is this the same thing? Communication to scientists? Same thing we just talked about? Yeah, it is. A article telling about it, a little bit more detail about it, but basically the same thing. AI can tell you what the wine is and where it's from. That just still makes me shake my head. The Court of Master Sommeliers ditches outdated wine terms. Okay, what wine terms are we ditching there? Who owns the language? French terms should be used the term Grand Cru. They're saying Grand Cru is a term that the French use, and it should be open for others. I don't think so. Old World has traditionally been used to describe European wine countries, while New World has been used to refer to Southern Hemisphere nations such as Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and Chile, as well as the U.S. However, this belies the ancient winemaking roots of many of the latter. Can we in good faith call China a New World wine country just because China wine's exports to Western countries are relatively new? Although they've been making wine for thousands of years. In the same vein, Argentina vineyards are home to ungrafted selections that come from Argentina in the late 1850s, making it challenging to describe it as new. Others in the trade understand New World wines to supply mean wines that are produced in countries where vines were transported from Europe, which is the old world, to a new destination, which is the new world. However, as countries increasingly embrace and champion their indigenous grapes in the face of climate change, rather than relying on the international varieties, they are some old world vines that are in the new world. So, what are you going to call them now? They also discussed, like I just said, whether non-French countries should be able to use the term Grand Cru, which raised question over the ownership of language, with Grand Cru essentially referring to the great vineyards or wine from a special place. Why not use it to denote superiority in wine anywhere in the world, was the question. And then they also pointed out the French term terroir has become internationalized, with almost every wine producing country using it to some extent. So why not Grand Cru? So they are looking at changing our outlook on these places. How will we address them? People are so used to calling it Old World and New World, regardless of what the roots are on these, that if these sommeliers get together, the Court of Master Sommeliers get together and start calling it something different, everybody's going to be confused. Majorly, majorly confused. I don't know. The Wine and Spirit Education Trust has also done away with the terms of, what terms are we looking at here? Old World and New World. They've done away with the terms Old World and New World as of the summer of 2022, which I never knew that. That was, 18 months ago. So we're going to see some different things out there now. We're going to start being confused, I think, because of this change. When someone says Old World, I immediately think of the middle of Europe. In New World, I think of everything else. But they're trying to change it so it doesn't mean that. Well, we'll see what happens. Who knows? Well, my guest never showed up tonight. Never called in, never rang in. So you got to hear me stumble through a broadcast of finding things to talk about, but I hope it was interesting and worth your time. And yeah, I'll get a hold of the guest and see when we can get him on. He wrote a book, The Wine List. I really enjoyed his book. I want to get him on the show and discuss it, but not tonight, obviously. So we will do it some other night. Yeah. So
okay,
don't forget to listen to Flightline Radio every day, all day, streaming 24/7, flightlineradio.com. And also, Mike is live every Saturday from 10 to noon. And All About Wine then takes over at noon. But this Saturday, I don't know what's going to happen because we were like 17 minutes into the show before we hooked it up. So find out if you got blank air or what's going to happen, then tune in this Saturday to Flightline Radio.
It'll still start at 12 o'clock. Actually, it's about a minute or two before because it takes about a minute of a delay, but it'll start at 12 o'clock, but it'll be 45 minutes long or so instead of, an hour or so. So
I see.
It's just going to be a shorter.
I see.
It'll start in the middle. Where we start.
Okay. Well, we didn't discuss anything that was noteworthy anyway at the beginning. So before I forget too, I picked up a couple of wines when I was in Tarpon Springs. I picked up a Greek wine and a wine from Croatia, the heart, the home of wine. So I don't have them tonight because I thought I was going to have a guest, but I'll have to tell you about them and review them in future shows. So that should be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what those are like. Yeah, because Greek wines, years ago I used to get Greek wines. They were sweet. Oh, my gosh, they were sweet. Well, they've gotten away from that, and they've gotten some drier wines. And so I picked up I think it was a red Greek wine and a white Croatian wine. So, well, we'll review those in the future.
Yeah, definitely about those. And they're authentic. It's not like, we're going to call
authentic.
It,
Yeah, it's this, it's got the Croatian writing on it, and it's got the Greek writing on the labels. Excuse me. And then, it tells about, importation and all that. So, yeah, they're the real things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Look forward to hearing about that. And we will close the show for this Thursday, January the 18th. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Really appreciate it, whether it's live or in the archives. It's always good. And if you have any comments or questions or, thoughts about a future show, let us know. You can email Ron, the show host, directly at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That's the numbers, 101, okay? allaboutwine101@gmail.com. Email them and give them, comments or suggestions, or if you want to be a guest, you're in the wine industry at some format, let them know. See if we can get you on a show. And our next show will be next Thursday, January the 25th, again at 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Blog Talk Radio and different markets, wherever we happen to be going live. And we'll talk to you all then next Thursday. Thank you again.
We'll see you next week.
Weekend. Good.
Be safe. Yeah. Be warm.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
Okay.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
That is it. We are off.
We are done.
Over there. Into the green room.